Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information. Thank you.
Welcome to Grace Heritage Church. I wanted to take just a second to introduce Amy Shewitz. If you haven't met her yet, she was playing for us this morning, and we're excited about being able to kind of blend some of her musical gifts into our times of worship together. So we thank the Lord for that. And this morning, before we get our normal course of events, there are several folks who are in the process of membership, seeking membership with us, and they're at kind of different places in that process right now, but one has completed the gauntlet, and so we wanted to present her to you this morning. Mary, would you come and stand with me, please? And if you haven't seen this happen yet, a part of our process is not to grill people necessarily, but we want to recommend them to you and also let them express their understanding of and agreement with our covenant that we make together as the body of Christ. Understanding that we, by a long shot, don't do all these things perfectly, and yet this expresses our desire, what we understand we ought to be striving for as the body of Christ, and what we aspire to by God's help through His Spirit. And so you may have already met Mary as she's been working in our office, and she labors here from 9 to noon each morning, keeping me out of trouble and doing all different kinds of things for us. And so we thank God for that. And she's also desires to be a part of our body. So to realize that her first and best relationship with us, she desires to be connected to us because of Christ. And so, Mary, I'm going to ask you these questions and ask you to respond verbally, if you will, please. Do you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure and without hope except in His sovereign mercy? Do you? And do you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the gospel? And will you endeavor in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit to live in accordance to your identity as a follower of Christ? And do you engage to walk together with God's people in Christian love through the power of the Holy Spirit? And will you support the church in its worship, work, and witness? Will you? And do you submit yourself to the government and discipline of the church? And will you endeavor to maintain her purity and peace? And we have lots of our folks who are on the road today traveling, and yet for those of us who are here today as the body and members here at Grace Heritage, I'd like to ask you a question. And that is, would you as a congregation receive Mary into our fellowship? And will you engage to serve, encourage, watch over, and pray for her as a fellow member of the body of Christ? Will you? And so it's with joy that we recommend to you and you receive Mary as a part of our body. And it's with hope in the Holy Spirit's power that we will press after these things together. So let's pray together, ask for God's help as we continue this morning, and look toward Him to help us in this process. Father, thank you for Mary. Thank you for the joy of getting to know her over these past months. And we thank you for the way that she's already been ministering to our body through her work in the office. But we thank you much more that she belongs to Christ, and that as we have Christ as our head, we belong to each other. And so in the days to come, as we desire to press after some of these things that we've talked about, by the power of your Spirit, we pray that you would help us, realizing, O God, that we will struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We know that our reliance and our hope is only in and from you. And so we thank you for these promises that you have given to us in your word. We thank you for the church and for the body of Christ, for whom He has given His life. And may we, O God, be faithful. May we walk worthy of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing fruit in every good work. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, Mary.
Again, good morning to all the members and all the guests this morning. Glad to see you this morning. Let me just first draw your attention to the tab in the back of your bulletin. If you would, go ahead and tear that off. If you're new with us, we'd love if you let us know that you were here and surrender any information that you feel comfortable surrendering. And we promise to pray for you when the men gather to meet this Wednesday morning. Also, any members, regular attenders, we'd also love it if you would share any prayer concerns or rejoicings with us, just to help us be able to remorse and to suffer together as a body and to rejoice together as a body as we are called to. Also, there is a members meeting tonight at 5:30. I want to remind everyone of that. Please make sure that you do your best to be there. But all the business aside, the primary reason we gather this morning is to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus. So if you would, stand with me as we read this Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plan perish. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bound down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. With the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do praise you for all these things, for your amazing characteristics, for the grandeur of who you are and what you have done and what you have promised to do. And God, this morning we gather in joy with the body to celebrate what you've done in our lives and to praise you for being the God that you are. So God, we don't think this lightly. And God, we don't think that we are worthy or have the abilities to do this as we ought. So God, we thank you for Christ and making us worthy. God, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit and applying that to our hearts so that we may praise you with the right motives and right intentions. So God, again, even though you are in us, we ask for more. Send your Holy Spirit to us to equip us to praise you in a way that's pleasing to you. We ask this in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Remain standing with me, please. We sing this hymn that's based on Psalm 146, an expression of those things that we have just read together this morning.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. Put no confidence in princes, nor for help on man depend. He shall die to dust returning, and his purposes shall end. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. Heaven and earth the Lord created, seas and all that they contain. He delivers from oppression, righteousness he will maintain. Food he daily gives the hungry, sets the mourning prisoner free. Raises those bowed down with anguish, makes the sightless eyes to see. Well, Jehovah loves the righteous, and the stranger he befriends. Helps the fatherless and widow, judgment on the wicked sends. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Oh, my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. Over all, God reigns forever. Through all ages, He is King. Unto Him, your God, O Zion, joyful hallelujah sing.
Thanks be to God for those truths that we have sung about. Over all, God reigns forever. Through all ages, He is King. That is cause for rejoicing this morning, brothers and sisters. And I don't want to be one of those song leaders. I promise never to do this to you, to say, y'all look like you're unhappy. Now let's go back and sing that with a smile on your face. And at the same time, as I look at your faces, sometimes I wonder if you're registering in your heart the words that you're singing. So just want to tell you, remind you to not let weaken go through motions. So let's guard ourselves against singing mindlessly the great truths of God's goodness, grace, and kingship this day. Let's worship the Lord together as we continue to sing.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
You alone.
You alone are the matchless King. To You alone be all majesty. Your glory and wonder what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air. You shine in the light. Tell of His might, oh sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy's face, whose chariots of wrath the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. You alone are the matchless King, to You alone be all majesty. Your glory and wonder, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air. You shine in the light. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
You alone.
You alone are the matchless King. To You alone be all majesty. Your glory and wonder, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air. You shine in the light.
Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in whom we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This reminder of the gospel calls us to stop and pause in our time together this morning. Would you join me in a time of silent prayer, of repentance and faith, to thank God for the mercy that He has demonstrated toward us in Christ, and for the grace in which we stand in Him this day. Join me, would you please, in an expression of hope in the gospel, in silent prayer of repentance and faith. Father, by your help as we look over our lives in this day and even in this week, we see stubbornness and disobedience and rebellion, false worship. And we pray that you would forgive us. We also see, God, evidences of your grace and mercy, times of rejoicing, obedience, hopefulness, following after you, the fruits of the Spirit, joy, love, patience, gentleness, self-control, evidences to us that you have done a miraculous work in our hearts. And we hope in nothing more and nothing less than Jesus Christ and His shed blood and the provision that you have made for us through His righteousness. We thank you for this reminder of our singular and perfect hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Martin Luther wrote this next hymn that we'll sing, a man who struggled deeply with trying to feel right before God, have an assurance that God could accept him. And he did everything he could do humanly. And when he came to the end of his human strength, he found the righteousness of Christ as his perfect provision. And so let's sing this hymn of assurance together this morning.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail Him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to Him abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Please be seated. Before our time of scripture reading and prayer this morning, I wanted to remind you of a prayer need that we couldn't get into the bulletin. The Peetmans came from a church in California from whom they received a prayer request this week, and I wanted to make you aware of that. On the 31st, they had a harvest fellowship there at the church, and a part of that was a hayride. And on that hayride, a little 7-year-old girl fell from the wagon and was killed. And now it appears that as the police investigate that, they're treating it or thinking about it in terms of a homicide. The man who was driving the vehicle pulling the wagons, 37 years old, with three children of his own. And you can only imagine his grief and sorrow, and then on top of that, the way that the police are treating this. So we want to be much in prayer for that whole fellowship as that works through this their entire congregation, that God would make provision for them in these days. Right, so let's read Scripture and pray together.
Our Scripture reading this morning is Acts chapter 7. Turn with me there, if you will. Verses 23 through 60, which is the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 7, verses 23 through 60. Our passage this morning continues the account of the martyrdom of Stephen, and we're going to pick this up in the middle of his defense before the high priest and the Jews who have accused him. In particular, in chapter 6, where the accusation is made against him, which we're going to have a reference to here in a minute, he's been charged with speaking against the temple and speaking of the destruction of the temple. And we'll hear reference to that in the rest of the sermon here. Verse 23 picks up shortly after Stephen has introduced Moses. He's tracing the entire history of Israel as part of his defense for the accusations that have been made against him. In verses 23 through 34, Stephen recounts the early life and calling of Moses, whom God appointed for Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Then in verses 35 through 43, he makes the point that although Moses was sent to them for their own deliverance, the nation of Israel rejected him and instead in their hearts returned to Egypt. You'll see that nice phrase in there. He will shortly conclude that his audience is doing effectively the same thing by rejecting Christ, who is sent for their deliverance from sin. In verses 44 through 50, Stephen addresses the direct charge that had been made against him in chapter 6 that I just referred to, that he intended to destroy the temple. God has no need of such buildings, he'll answer, declaring that heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Verses 51 through 53 contain the application, as it were, of his sermon, where he will appeal directly to their hearts by showing them their sin. As your fathers did, so do you. You'll read that phrase. You have betrayed and murdered the righteous one. Then the close of the chapter reports their sad and sinful reaction. Rather than acknowledging and confessing their sin, they, quote, stop their ears and rush together at him and then eventually stone him. And you have to wonder how many of these murderers returned from this event and came to their senses and perhaps wept in repentance. We'll never know, of course, if that happened. But I believe these words should be a warning to us this morning not to resist the Holy Spirit, as we'll read, as the only way of redemption and deliverance. So let's read Acts chapter 7, verses 23 and following. When he, this is referring to Moses now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other?" But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. Now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight, And as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob. And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off the sandals from your feet, for the ground where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai and with our fathers. He received living oracles to give to us. Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside. And in their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make for us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring to me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god Rephan, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it, according to the pattern that he had seen. Our fathers in turn brought it with Joshua when they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the days of David, who found favor in the sight of God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our Father, it's hard not to read these words and to think of how many times we read the scriptures and we see error and we can't believe. How could they ever do that? And yet in our own faith and practice, we commit the same errors that are spoken of in your holy word. So I pray, Father, that you would keep us from pride this morning as we hear these words. Might we receive them with humility, recognizing that every day we are tempted to resist the Holy Spirit. Every day we are tempted to deny the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be redeemed and become your friends and your children. Oh, Father, may it not be so today. I pray that you would help us, oh God, to receive the sacrifice that has been made for us. In addition to that passing from death to life at conversion, Father, for which we give thanks, might this be a reality, a gospel reality in our everyday experience, so that we might receive that constant application of the redemption that we enjoy by the blood of Christ and through the Spirit. And we give you thanks for this and for the courage of Stephen. Oh, Father, we thank you. And we ask that you would give us courage, Lord, to speak the truth when we are persecuted and to be willing even to die to ourselves by reputation and even physically, if necessary, that your gospel might be proclaimed in truth. Lord, we thank you that as we read these foundations of the New Testament church, that you have built up your church over these many years to an institution that has the truth, which acts and serves as the pillar and ground of the truth. And we thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy even in this body. And Lord, we pray that as we gather for worship and preaching this morning, that you would bless, feed your people. Lord, we come hungry, needing the truth. We pray for our pastor, Father, as he delivers the word of God to us. We ask that you would strengthen him, give him boldness, give him accuracy, give him confidence, that he might deliver the words that you truly have for us this morning. And might we receive them with meekness, being ready and willing to make application. And then we pray for, of course, spiritual eyes to understand and to see what we see before us so that we might make right application in our lives. Father, we have many among us who have needs. We've heard already of the Peetman's friends, and I'm sure there's much confusion and heartache of the events surrounding that. And we just pray, oh God, that you would be glorified in the outcome here, that the truth would be manifested and be made undeniable, Lord, and that a just result would come about. And also, oh Father, that you would serve up much grace and mercy and comfort in this great time of need, in the loss of a young child. Lord, we think of those who are serving us in the military, for Lauren Nevels in particular, oh God, these many here who are listed on our bulletin who need strength, Lord, in many cases. I know Sean Curtis in particular, who is serving in a submarine. Oh God, they need the fellowship of the Spirit in ways perhaps that we've never even known ourselves, so that they might know, being denied for times of the fellowship of your people, that still you are faithful and that you have not forsaken them. God, might they enjoy that kind of fellowship and a knowledge that they are serving your people back here at home. Lord, we pray for Leslie Lowe, that you would open up doors of ministry in the Sudan. Lord, we pray for her protection and ask that you would work through her for the gospel progress in that land. We think of Farmville Baptist Church, Lord, who is searching for a new pastor. We know what a privilege and grace it is to have a godly pastor, and we pray that you would be merciful to that church, Lord, that you would bring them someone to bring them the truth consistently and with fervor. Oh God, that they might be fed and they might be built up into a congregation worthy of the name church. Lord, we also pray for Larry Webb and those who are ministering at the Women's Hope Medical Clinic. God, this is a good work that they are doing. You know it right well. And we just pray, Father, that you would strengthen them. Might you work a righteous result in our nation. Oh God, forgive us for the sin that we tolerate in our nation. Father, we just pray for an uprising of righteousness that would overturn these seemingly insurmountable waves of wickedness, God, that beset us. Oh, Father, have mercy on us, we pray. Lord, finally, we pray for Senator Ted Little as he ministers through government, Lord, which you have instituted. We pray that you would give him wisdom to make godly and righteous decisions that your people might worship in peace and tranquility. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
And Father, we do pray that you would indeed work in our hearts now by the preaching of your word, that you would extend to us a mercy and help and the anointing of your Holy Spirit for this time as we worship you by gathering around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn, please, to Daniel chapter 12. We'll finish our journey through the book and thank God for persevering mercies as we've wrestled through some hard passages. And someday maybe God will let us go back through it again and dig down a little bit more deeply through this. But it's been a good opportunity for us to deal with a different kind of literature, to wrestle in Old Testament passages. A lot of times we have a tendency to spend all of our time and effort in the New Testament, and yet the Scriptures remind us that it is in all the Scriptures that we learn of Christ. And so it's been a good journey for us. I hope an encouragement for you as we've gone through this. There, as we prayed for this dear family in California this morning, perhaps you were also reminded or thinking about the shooting tragedies this week, one at Fort Hood in Texas, one in Orlando. Or perhaps you were mindful of some of struggles that are closer to home with you. And we learned last week that Casey Raley's father has discovered his cancer has spread into several large places in his bones, and is going to start some new kinds of therapies and treatments this soon. Or we notice that around us, folks are sick, struggling. Bonnie's at home sick today. We have relationship struggles and challenges. There's brokenness in so many different arenas of life right now. And that even extends to the reality that we struggle with our own sanctification. And perhaps this week you have known wrestling and strivings and disappointments and strugglings and stumblings in your battle against sin. Perhaps this has been one of those weeks that has not been so encouraging for you spiritually. Those realities are all evidences, reflections of the broken world in which we're living, the brokenness and that we all carry about in us still, in our own bodies. And there is nothing that a man can do to fix it. Nothing that can be done, humanly speaking, to make these things right. The only solution is that God would recreate and remake and renew. And this is a hope that we learn about in chapter 12 of Daniel. That these kinds of deliverances and recreations and provisions of God are possible and coming. We've been learning about these kinds of things really all through the book. As we began with Daniel and many of his friends, peers, cohorts being taken prisoner, captive by the king of Babylon as Nebuchadnezzar went in and defeated them and overcame them. And Daniel has lived now some 80 years, or to the age of about 80 years, some 70 years or so in captivity. And he's seen the balance of power shifting and changing. He's lived under the administration of several different kings. We know the names of a few of them. And now he's come to the day that things are being shifted back to Jerusalem. The people have been allowed to go back home, and yet they've come there under difficulty and oppression and affliction. The work on the building that began has been stopped. And so he finds himself in days of difficulty and hardship, and he sees this balance of earthly power constantly shifting and going back and forth, and days of encouragement and days of great difficulty. And yet the thing that has been unchanging throughout the book is the sovereignty and the rule and the power and the providence of the King, the one true God of all the earth, the one who rules and reigns over all these things and purposefully is directing them toward His designed end. And so as we think about those things, today my encouragement is for very simple and basic. And I didn't make notes for you today. I want to encourage you to use that space that Mary worked so hard to carve out, this space in your bulletin called Sermon Notes. And I want to encourage you to put three things there. And first of all, being called to one basic essential for the days to come, and that is to continue in the way, to continue on, to press forward, however you want to say it. I want to encourage you to continue in the way. That's based on the two commands that are given in chapter 12 that you'll see as we read through it. So if you'll begin with me in verse 1, let's read chapter 12 of Daniel together, or I'll read it for you. I don't want to confuse you with that together call. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. And then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the end, or the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from that time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. So hear those two commands as encouragements for your heart today. Go your way. Continue on in the way. In the midst of all these realities and press and afflictions and oppressions and difficulties and hardships and struggles in sanctification, go your way. This is the command that Daniel received, and I believe it is the command for us. Now, before we get into the heart of thinking about these three things that I'd like to encourage you with, let me give you just a couple of more general introductory encouragements, if you will. These commands that Daniel receives come on the heels of his question about the timing of the end. He wants to know, how long? And that's an understandable question that he asks. It's a question that you and I have asked, if we're any kind of honest. How long will this last? How long will I experience this or endure this circumstance or situation? And the question that he gives, or the answer that he receives, doesn't help in terms of time. A time, times, and half a time. And then I think his confusion is increased somewhat, although it's helped in one sense by this speaking of the days in verses 11 and 12, 1290 days and 1335 days. I defy anyone to say with absolute certainty that they know what that means. I don't think it can be done. Now, I think that you can wrestle some of these things into predictions, and you can work charts and you can press a theological system about the end on some of these things and come out with answers. But I think that, again, misses the point of what Daniel is trying to do for us in this day. The confusion that these things seem to create almost seem purposeful. And in one sense, it keeps me from idleness. Because who among us has not known that a paper is due on December the 5th and not waited until the 3rd to start? And yet, I can remember very clearly that in class, when my professors told me in seminary, there may very well be a quiz tomorrow. And so every day I prepared for a quiz. And some days there were and some days there weren't, but every day I was prepared for the quiz. In the simple reality of who we are in human sloth, if we knew exactly when the end was coming, we would love this world until the end. We would be prone to love this world until the end. Let me say it, that's a little more gentle, isn't it? So it keeps us from idleness. And then also, it shifts our motive from relief to the kingdom. Now, I'm going to talk about that more as we go along through the morning. But sometimes we want to know, when is this going to stop? Because the thing we want is relief. But God is calling Daniel to want the kingdom, and to be pressing towards the kingdom and towards the thing that he is going to establish in the end. And so he tells him, continue in the way toward the kingdom that I've called you to. It's a way that Daniel discovered by God's mercy as a child. It was a way that he stuck in, if I can use that word, faithfully as a teenager. And now for all of his life and through the end of his years and the difficulty of his old age, and God is telling him, stay there. And so what we hear from the Word of God today is that we are not going to know we don't have the privilege of having every step of life mapped out before us in great detail, and yet we do have God calling us to keep in the way. And for this we have His Word and His Spirit to help us know how to go. Now, Some people will say, well, that's just not good for me. That's not good enough for me. I need more details. I need to know if this is going to be worth it or not. And in a sense, that's what God is giving Daniel and giving us, the sense of the worth and the value of the kingdom that's coming. And he's calling us to live for another day and to be giving ourselves to that day with faithfulness. And so that's the first of these encouragements that I'd like for you to give you this morning. First of three, continue because deliverance is promised. Continue in the way because deliverance is promised. Now, verses 1 through 4 of chapter 12 are actually the end of the very detailed vision that comes in chapter 11. And they really belong with chapter 11 because they're the finishing description of some things that are described there in chapter 11. And when he begins verse 1 in chapter 12, and again, obviously, Daniel didn't write this in verses and chapters, right? Everybody knows that. It's all one continuous gig, and translators have placed this. But when he begins in verse 1, the at that time that's referred to here is a description of what he's been talking about in chapter 11, particularly in verses about 36 through 45. And it refers to the destruction of the Antichrist. Now, there are verses further back in chapter 11 that are speaking very particularly to Antiochus Epiphanes the IV, who crushed the Jews and created all kinds of oppression for them, and the Maccabeans rose up against him and so forth and so on. But he's also a type, a picture of the greater one who is coming, the greater desolation and abomination that's coming in the Antichrist, and this is a description of his destruction. But the works of God don't end there, because even though this one is going to be destroyed, notice the last phrase or that last sentence in verse 1, but at that time your people shall be delivered. And so it's talking to us not just about the crushing of the evil one and the crushing of the oppression or the opposition against God, but it's talking about the delivery of God's people to all of the glory and all of the blessing and all of the provision that he has been promising and he has made for us in Christ. One commentator says that we get so excited about the destruction of the Antichrist, but that's not where the real glory of God is, because what is the glory of omnipotent God crushing a worm like the Antichrist? It'd be like one of us going out and stomping on an ant and coming in and saying, I killed an ant, I killed an ant. Well, what glory is there in that? But if you went out and raised an ant up to you, if you brought some perfect human being into the room and said, this used to be an ant, now that would get some attention, wouldn't it? And God's glory is in taking disobedient, rebellious creatures who deserve eternal damnation and raising them to glory and bringing them to be like himself, restoring, remaking, recreating them in his image to that which we were intended to be. And so this is the promise, the deliverance that's spoken of in verse 1. It is indeed the crushing of the Antichrist, but it is also the deliverance of God's people. And this is coming as a result, in part as well, of the work of this angel, Michael. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people. Some see this as Christ. I see it as Michael and the other angels who have been waiting for the signal, who have been ministering to the saints, according to Psalm chapter 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. So God has been making provision through his angels, but now this conquering army sweeps through and eliminates the opposition and raises his people to all that they should be. And so I wanted to just point you, might want to jot down on the side Psalm 34, and look through that psalm this afternoon. Think about that as the provision of God is made for this one. He describes himself as a poor man in verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This one who has no respect of the world and no position and no status and no authority, yet God brings him into his very presence. And the holy angels minister to this one and to these saints and stands for him and for us against the powers of darkness. And so all glory and all honor and all praise be unto the Lord of these angels and the God who is raising us up to these things and providing for us sufficient grace in the meantime to continue, because deliverance is promised. The provision is made for us in this life to trust the Lord and His way. To refuse to think that my own efforts and my own abilities are sufficient. So the end is the crushing of this enemy, the deliverance of the people. But for whom is this deliverance promised? Let's pay attention to that in the last phrase of verse 1. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Now verse 2 speaks about a resurrection. I believe that it speaks in language that's difficult to understand, but still refers to a general resurrection. It says many of those, not in, to lead us to think that some are going to be raised and others still left behind. But I think that there is those many who have died will be raised. And notice that they are raised, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and contempt. And so there's this picture here of the reality that God, in calling His people to Himself, very specifically is going to raise a people to everlasting life, but that those who have held Christ in contempt will be raised to an everlasting contempt. There's a very definite division. Now, I want to give you a heads up in terms of what's coming in Bible study this morning. Last week, I called you to stand firm in defending the gospel. Today, we're talking about the gospel in this message. And during Bible study this morning, we want to make sure that you understand and know the gospel and can explain it to others. You know, we're not going to just say, you need to stand firm for this and then pretend that you know it. So that's what's coming in Bible study this morning. But there, he's essentially describing two ways. Not multitudes of ways, not many opportunities or differences, but two ways. And those who have spent their lives in dependence upon Christ will be raised to life, and those who have contempt for Christ will be raised to a Christless eternity. They've worshipped false gods, pleasure and status and materialism, and will be raised to the fruits of those pursuits. Only in eternity, let me say I emphasized those words wrong, only in eternity there will be no common grace. And the goodness that they've known in this life that's been a result of the kindness of God will be departed. And it will be a life of everlasting shame and contempt. One commentator said that these bodies that are raised will be raised with the ugliness of all of their sinful pursuits in this life manifested in complete fullness in that day. He painted a picture of an ugly, godless, horrific existence. John, in his gospel in chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, expresses it this way. They'll be raised to the resurrection of damnation. And so, beloved, continue in the way of Christ. Because apart from it, there is only death and destruction and eternal separation from God. Continue in the way of Christ. Because that is the only hope of deliverance. Secondly, continue in the way. Because devotion is precious. Deliverance is promised. Continue because devotion is precious. Now, I got to admit to you, I may have fallen captive to the outline goblin, looking for a D and a P word, because you don't see anything here about devotion. And yet, if you'll notice in verse 3, "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above." The picture here is of those who are devoted to wisdom, devoted to the wisdom in Christ, and devoted to that wisdom and to imparting that wisdom to others. And that there is a preciousness about being a dispenser of wisdom, of the wisdom of Christ, to those who are around us. You see, the only real source in the world for wisdom is Christians. Notice this last line of verse 4. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." This is a reference to Amos chapter 8, where there's a picture of those who, apart from the wisdom of God, are running about all over the place, to and fro in the land, looking for wisdom. And they're saying that the key to knowledge and wisdom is to find it in God. We know that the Scriptures tell us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so the world runs around to all these different kinds of places looking for answers to their life's questions. And some look to their own reason. If they can make sense of something and it's logical to them and it follows a pathway that they can work out in their own thinking, then they believe it to be true. But they're doing that sort of like a blind man trying to scoop up water from a dry creek bed with a colander. Can you get that picture? Everybody know what a colander is? It's that thing that you drain spaghetti in. It's got holes in it. It's like a blind man trying to scoop up water from a dry creek bed with a colander. That's looking to your own reason. They have no sense that their own reason and logic are flawed and broken and corrupted. And as a result, don't rightly pursue these kinds of things. Some look to their experience. In other words, if it works for them, then it must be right. And we now live in a culture where every emotion or experience is affirmed because there's no absolute truth or authority that's recognized. One author says, truth becomes whatever gives me the experiences I desire. Truth becomes whatever gives me the experiences I desire. That's the culture we're living in, beloved. And that's why we so desperately need to shine in the darkness where this knowledge approach is so broken. That's why people are running around to and fro. And we've got people in our city who I guess they probably know how to do like nuclear fission. But their lives are completely broken. They're incredibly smart, but horribly foolish. And so Christians are a blessing to the world in that we hold forth wisdom for the questions that really matter. Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Where is there eternity? Is there a God? If there is, who is He and how can I know Him? What comes after this life and how can I prepare? Those who impart real wisdom will shine as stars forever. I think that's what this passage is telling us. They're like points of reference for other people, leading them to righteousness that's found in Christ alone. Now, we've all known people like that. You've had interactions with people in your life who have been like points of reference. They've called you to wisdom. They've given you encouragement. They've helped you to know what the Word of God means. They've encouraged you. And life would have been very dark without them helping you steer a straight course. And so that's what God's called us to be in the midst of our broken world. Dispensers of God's wisdom to those who are struggling. Now, have you dispensed any wisdom this week or recently? Have you called anyone to faithfulness? Have you poked holes in their worldview? Have you challenged the way that they're approaching life? Now, let me encourage you to be offering that kind of hope, continuing in the way of Christ, and holding forth Christ. And if you'll do that, you'll not be disappointed. I want to encourage us, and I'm saying this from my own heart as much as anyone, because I find myself sometimes out there talking with people and having little conversations with guys I play basketball with and things like that and wanting to talk to them of Christ, and yet I don't want them to think that I'm some kind of knucklehead. But don't be afraid to speak Christ to the world. Don't fear what they can do, because what can they do to you? What's the worst they can do to us if we hold Christ out to someone this week? They can kill us. And then you're with Jesus. I'm not encouraging being ornery or rude or obnoxious or any of those kinds of things. But if they throw us into persecution, God is with us there in the fire. If they toss us to beasts, God is with us there, according to the book of Daniel. If they want to make fun of us and give us difficulty, and if the government wants to oppress us and wear us out, God is stronger than all those things, and He is with us in those things, and we'll be vindicated in the end. So shine like stars, because you are the light of the world. Let the world hear the wisdom of God, because the simplicity of the gospel is better than all the wisdom of the world. And I want to encourage you to be speaking the gospel to people who are around you, because they are hopeless apart from it. Well, let's go to a third encouragement. Continue because deliverance is promised. Continue because devotion is precious. And continue because the duration is precise. deliverance, devotion, duration. The duration is but for a while. It is precise. Daniel asks this question, I told you a little bit earlier, how long? It's in verse 6. How long shall it be till the end of these wonders? He's speaking to these angelic beings, messengers who are reflecting the glory of God in this place. And the man tells him this cryptic reality, time, times, and half a time. And so, as we see this real question, the answer has not changed throughout the entire book. And that is that the end is fixed and precise, but we have absolutely no idea when it will be. And I don't think that one position in thinking about these things in terms of the end times is necessarily wicked or sinful, but the point is that when we don't get stuck there, we can continue on because we know for sure that the end is fixed and precise for God. Now, as I said a little bit before, perhaps some of these things are purposefully confusing. They're shrouded in the mystery and the providence of God. And the point for us is to be faithful. And so as you're doing that, let me encourage you to understand that in the providence of God that's communicated in these things, our struggles are limited by the Lord's mercy. As one who has almost never struggled for anything, it's easy for me to say. I know people who have struggled mightily. And last week I heard about a young woman in a foreign country who confessed Christ publicly, and then her husband, to punish her, cut her tongue out, and she bled to death. Those are the kinds of things that are going on in the world around. And that kind of stuff, there are people suffering for the gospel and for holiness and righteousness in our city. But encouragement is that in God's mercy, these things are limited. That the Scripture is trying to help us to know that God is restraining even these things, because He is working in all of those details. And notice also that He uses a phrase in the last part of verse 7 that speaks to this reality in the church, that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things will be finished. And so it seems that in this statement, he's saying that even when there is great weakness in the church, and even when the love of many has grown cold, then the deliverance comes. It will not go on forever, and in the perspective of eternity, it doesn't go on for very long. That is hard from this place. It is difficult for us to say, well, this is not going to last very long. But in the perspective of eternity, it's not. Our life is a vapor, remember? It's here and it's gone. It comes out and it goes away. It's expressed and then it's no more. And we're into eternity. And so one encouragement for us is to remember that if you may not believe that the return of Christ is imminent, you may see that there's much yet to be done, and at the same time, our life is but a vapor, and so there's not time to wait to continue in the way. And then also, the encouragement here is that when the church is at her weakest, and when it seems that Christ would reject us because we're so weak, and when it seems that we have let Him down, and we may feel that we've done everything to merit rejection, still, that is when the end comes. When the holy people have been shattered, the power of the holy people have been shattered, then all these things will be finished. And so there seems to be some indication here in the text that there will be great suffering and difficulty and hardship in the church, and that then Christ comes for us. So go your way till the end, because then will come the rest. Then you will stand. Notice verse 13. Then you will stand in the allotted place at the end of the days. God is exhorting Daniel to continue on as a faithful servant, to continue on in the way. Have you contemplated lately what a blessing it is to be in the way? If you are in Christ today, Have you contemplated lately what a blessing it is to be in the way? Have you ever contemplated the reality that some people live their entire lives and never know? They never know Christ. They never know any sense of purpose. They never know any sense of eternal hope. They never know any sense of a reason for living. They never know any sense of building something that will last forever. Their lives are spent in futility and gone and lost. Do you know what a blessing it is to be in the way? And what a sweet and precious thing it is. And so because Christ has placed us in this way, let us continue in this way. And calling everyone that we can to be in it with us. Continuing on. Satan's day is but a season. It is but a little while. That difference between 1,290 days and 1,335 days, some say is a period of 45 days. You can do that math. But that's a picture of the shortness of this last age in which we're living. That it is these last days in which we live, and that they are but a short while. And one day, beloved, we will possess the inheritance that has been reserved for us, unfaded and incorruptible. One day, this life will be over quickly, and it will have been a well-spent journey, even though seven deaths lay in between here and the end. And it will be over in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be at Jesus' feet. Whether He returns or we live to the very end of our lives, that is the promise that's delivered. I can't remember if it's verse 6 or 7, 8, someplace there in the middle. This one who stands above the streams raises his hands and he swears by God. And so the one who cannot lie guarantees these things. So continue in the way. There may be some shedding of blood along the way if we're going to be faithful. But one day we will be at Jesus' feet. So press on. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, I pray for your people today who are struggling mightily, who are wrestling against circumstance, against sin that has been committed against them, and against sin that is a part of them. Oh God, thank you for these blessed and precious hopes that are ours, that this is not a struggle without purpose. These are not days that are just unfolding without an end in sight, that you have set us on this course, and that you will indeed keep us by your power unto the end. Give us grace to persevere and to be faithful. Strengthen us, O God, by your Spirit. And encourage those who are weary and fainting. Encourage those who are wrestling. Encourage those, O God, who wonder if they can trust you. Encourage those who think that sometimes it is not worth it. And Father, I pray for those amongst us this day who are not in Christ, who if they were awakened to the day of judgment today, would be raised to everlasting shame and contempt. A Christless eternity. And I pray, O God, that you would show them the error of seeking this world's sedatives, seeking for the pleasures that this world has to offer, to salve the wounds and the brokenness of their hearts? And would you call them to yourself this day, sovereignly by the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, would you give them eyes to see, and would you grant to them faith and repentance, that they might flee to Christ and cling to Him alone, that they might see Him as He is, a treasure without price. And oh God, I pray that you would give us help as a church. There is much about us that needs to be different, oh God. There is much about us that needs to be more faithful. But God, because we are not where we should be, we will not quit. We will not give up. But we will continue in the way. Because there is no other way to go. There is no life and no hope apart from you. And so we will press after you with all the grace and the energy that you will supply for us. And we will hope in the kingdom that it belongs to Christ, that is established and will be forever and ever and ever, to the praise and glory and honor of the great name of King Jesus, in whose name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? And we'll sing together on page 7. May this be the theme of the song that you sing this week. All the places that you go, the things that you do, may you hope and find blessing in the mercy of God. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. By free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin would reduce me to utter despair. But through thy free goodness my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. Thy mercy is more than a match for my heart, which wonders to feel its own hardness depart. Dissolved by thy goodness, I fall to the ground and weep to the praise of the mercy I found. Great Father of mercies, thy goodness I own, and the covenant love of thy crucified Son. All praise to the Spirit whose whisper divine seals mercy and pardon and righteousness mine. All praise to the Spirit whose whisper divine seals mercy and pardon and righteousness mine. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God bless you as you go. this week and be encouraged and strengthened by the grace of God to continue in the way, beloved, so that what we are is evident in the way that we live. If you have questions about your relationship to Christ, if you are one of those who would be raised to contempt, I would like to speak to you this morning, right now, because this is not a neutral place. There is not a neutral place to stand. And so I would like to speak to you concerning your relationship to Christ if you have concerns about that. We'll gather together again at 11:20, and we'll share together in Bible study and think about the gospel this morning. God bless you as you go.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at the Best Western on the corner of College and University.